Chapter 20. Samos. Librarius. Will of Stone and Fire. The Phalanx in a System Gulf. Shadows flowed through the phalanx. The darkness gathered at the edge of flame light billowed out and up, spreading across walls, swallowing shape, dissolving brightness. The shadows roared as they spread, and their voice was the sound of wind blowing through the teeth of skulls.
The end and the death. We are here. We are beside you. Death is beside you. The end is here.
It flowed on, boiling with coalescing shapes. It passed through bulkheads and through the cracks around closed doors. Strange forms clawed across ceilings, and blizzards of shadows boiled down corridors. It was not one creature, but many. A tide of murderous power poured into cold reality like ink into clear water. Gunfire met the tide. There were over 3,000 Imperial fists on the ship, 10,000 Jovian and Solar Auxilia elite, and every oath-bound crew member was a warrior. In the decks beneath the Phalanx's Strategium Fortress, 20 Huskarls in Indominatus Terminator plate met the demon tide. Assault cannons spun up, target displays flashed red with threat markers as the shadows became vast hounds and hunched figures dragging swords. The Huskarls opened fire. Bolt rounds and Volkite beams punched into the wall of darkness. Brass cases rang on the granite floor. Bodies formed as shadow broke into muscle and sinew. One of the Huskarls brought his cannon around as a hound made of smoke and blood leapt for him, jaws wide. The deluge of shells shredded the creature. A second later, a figure of spindle limbs and bloody skin rammed a sword clean through the Huskarl's flesh and armour. In the primary signal processing chamber, the darkness came as silence. Millions of cables and new spheric links all converged at this point. Men and women sat wired into consoles, listening, filtering and diverting the flow of messages from across different regions of the phalanx. Their mouths moved constantly, hissing echoes of the words and codes passing through them. Autoscribes clattered. Data conduits beeped. It was never quiet, and more than a day in the chamber would leave an unprotected human deaf. One of the signal governor servitors began to twitch. The words coming from her mouth speaker stopped. She shook her head as though trying to clear it.
"Samus,"
she said, unsure, as though part of her lobotomized brain had heard the word once before but could not remember it.
"Samus,"
she said again. The servitors to either side of her twitched and went still. The lights on their consoles flashed amber.
"Samus. Samus. Samus."
More insistent now. One of the supervising tech priests was moving towards her. Alarms were sounding, lights flashing.
"Samus."
A 10-meter bank of Vox consoles went silent. The servitors at their stations froze and then exploded.
"Samus! Samus! Samus!"
The tech priest dropped to the floor. Smoke poured from his ears as his remaining flesh cooked. Silence spread. The babble of voices and the hum of signals vanished. In her cradle, the lone servitor remained, twitching in place, shouting the only thing her slowly melting brain could hear.
"Samus! Samus is here! Samus is the man beside you!"
Darkness bubbled up out of the hull along the phalanx's spine. Swarms of creatures pulled their wings from the dark and launched into the vacuum. Close defense turrets opened up. Lasbolts blasted ghost flesh to slime. One of the phalanx's escorts became a scream of detonating void shields and splintering armor. Su Kassen was shouting as the darkness poured into the chamber she and Dawn had been waiting in. Coiling strands of night flowed through the open doors. Beyond, she had a glimpse of a dark shape, like the shadow of a vast wolf cast against a wall by an inferno. It was growing, stretching. The Huskarls around her and Dawn were firing. She could smell ozone and blood, spun sugar and sulphur. The shadow of the wolf beyond the door turned its head as she looked at it. Red eyes met hers. She raised her shot pistol and pulled the trigger. A cloud of metal fragments tore into the space between her and the shadows and became flares of light. A shape detached from the spreading dark. It grew as it moved, sheathing itself in bloody meat and bone as it ran. Su Kassen fired again and again, punching the dog-like thing backwards. Dawn moved past her, a golden blur against the shadow. She had never seen him in battle. They had conducted war together for over half a decade, but it had always been remote. His genius and nature expressed in insight, in cold logic and plans that unfolded at a distance. She had never seen him fight in front of her. Not so close that she felt the rush of his passing. He did not have Storm's teeth. The great chainsword that he bore in battle was in his chambers, but he was still a Primarch, a weapon that needed no other. His first blow hit the demon hound and exploded its skull and body down to its hind legs. The wall of shadow drew back, rising like a cresting wave as it touched the ceiling. Dawn had his bolter in his hands. Shots punched into the oily matter. It rushed forwards.
No!
Su Kassen went forwards, firing her pistol. Dawn stood his ground, a lone figure, face set, lit by muzzle flash. The tide coiled above them. Dawn fired another burst and turned to one of the still open exits from the chamber.
Move!
He shouted. Su Kassen dived after him as he went through the doorway. He turned as he crossed the threshold, grabbed the doors and pushed, his face pale and taut. The doors were 3-meter-high slabs of plasteel, inlaid with silver images of lightning bolts. The piston systems that shut them normally were capable of crushing an armored space marine. Dawn rammed the doors shut with his hands. They shook as something struck the other side.
"Seal them!"
he called. But Su Kassen was already at the manual locking handle, yanking it down with all of her strength. Bolts shot into place with a drum roll of cogs. The doors began to glow red with heat. Dawn turned, as warriors in yellow armour and black cloaks ran to circle them.
"Lord!"
called Arcamus, as the Huskarls formed a triangle around their Primarch, guns facing outwards. The silver on the doors was beginning to melt.
"Go to the Silent Vault. Unshackle my forgotten sons. They join the battle by my will," said Dawn, his voice clear. "Now."
Arcamus paused and looked at Dawn.
"And you, my lord?"
"We need to reach the bridge."
Arcamus nodded and was already moving. Half of the Huskarls broke away and formed up on him. Dawn was moving towards one of the other doors that led to the arterial connection to the bridge.
"With me, Admiral,"
he called. Behind them, the doors began to flake chunks of molten metal. Strike Frigate Persephone, Inner System Gulf.
"Auspex failure! Long-range Vox failure! Fleet target integration lost!"
Alarms and voices cut across the Persephone's bridge. Sigismund felt heat prickle his skin and the deck pitch as the Persephone rolled. An arc of lightning sliced across the void where she had been. Blood mist boiled out into the vacuum. Smoke was pouring from the helm machinery. Shouts and screams were echoing through his skull. The gravity on the bridge failed, and for a second he was floating. Then it reasserted itself with crushing force. A human surf officer slammed into the deck nearby, skull and spine shattered.
"Reality is coming apart!"
called the sensor officer. Blood was running down her face.
"We cannot see the rest of the fleet. We cannot see anything."
"We are losing navigational data,"
intoned a Lex mechanic from his cradle of brass-bound lenses. Sigismund felt another jolt thump through the frigate.
"Get us a bearing now," shouted Ran.
The assault commander was bareheaded, a fresh wound from falling debris seeping blood across his scars.
"It's gone,"
said one of the officers.
"Every system is in seizure. We can't..."
"Open the blast shutters," said Sigismund.
Ran looked around at him, mouth opening in question.
"Open them now,"
called Sigismund. A second later, the plates covering the viewports folded back with a rolling boom of metal slamming into metal. Horror poured in. Light boiled and spun through every colour. Depth and distance flexed and reversed. Spheres of distant planets loomed large, swallowing the view of the stars before shrinking to pinpricks of light. And across it, vast and billowing like a shot-slashed sail, was a rift between worlds. Ships swarmed from it, glittering, cloaked in ectoplasm and warp-skinned creatures. A part of Sigismund's mind saw and understood. The enemy had found a way to bring their host to the seat of the solar system. The fight would not be in the void now. It would be decided where it was always going to end, on the soil of Terror, beneath a sky of fire and iron. Human crew across the bridge moaned and screamed, and some of them vomited. Sigismund felt his jaw clamp shut and muscles bunch across his body, as though he were trying to stand still in the face of a hurricane.
"What the..."
began Ran.
"The sun," said Sigismund,
raising his hand to point through the roiling chaos surrounding them.
"We can see the sun still."
And there it was, its light shredded and stained, but shining yet.
"Set our course by that. Reach every ship we can. Close formation. Steer by the sun. Full speed."
Seventh Fane of the Selenar, Luna. Abaddon twisted aside as the guardian beast reared up, dragging Laak into the air like a broken doll. The blade slave whirled from where it was cutting through the wall of light. The opening in the fields began to shut in front of Abaddon. Fire burst from Laak as he struggled in the beast's grasp. Its armor plates charred and distorted with heat, but it did not let go. Around them, the troops and guardian creatures of the temple were falling as the Justerin advanced through the maze of energy fields. At the edge of his sight, Abaddon saw Urskar brace and fire a line of heavy rounds into four troopers as a field snapped from one position to another. The resistance would not last much longer, minutes at most. But minutes was all Matriarch Heliosa would need to empty her vials into the font of tubes in front of her. From there, their contents would flow into the fane and beyond, poisoning, destroying, salting this sacred ground for those who would take it. Abaddon saw Laak's blade slave swing at the guardian beast holding his master. Its sword was trailing smoke and blood. The beast's tail lashed out, extending like a whip, a metre-long blade at its tip. The blade slave took the impact on its chest. The sting punched through its armour and flesh. Black fluid and ash poured from the wound. The beast whipped its tail, and the blade slave flew through the air into one of the energy fields. Flesh and armour flashed, burning and crumbling as it fell. Laak twisted in the beast's grip. It opened a mouth filled with lightning-lit teeth. Abaddon fired as he charged. Bolt rounds struck the beast's mouth and exploded between its fangs. Its head jerked back. Abaddon felt his first blow uncoil through him. His power fist tore into the beast's flank. Bronze and black graphite shattered. The beast shuddered, back arching. Abaddon struck again and again, pounding through metal and ceramic to the human flesh within. Blood and shredded meat fountained out. The beast spasmed, toppling, the power fields around its claws flaring. Laak fell from its grasp. Abaddon punched up into the thing's inner guts, gripped and pushed upwards with all the strength of body and armour. The dying beast twisted in his grasp as he lifted it and threw it at the energy fields. Blinding light filled the chamber as false thunder shrieked. The fields vanished. The remains of the great beast struck the floor, mangled, charred, and half-melted. Abaddon turned, the beast's blood lending the black plates of his armour a thick gloss. Laak was trying to rise. His armour was cracked, and half of the horned mask covering his face was torn. Abaddon had a moment to see a dark eye in a face of red, scarred flesh, before the substance of the mask flowed over the features and solidified. Bolters roared behind Abaddon as the Justerin and Reavers fired into the remaining guards and guardians. He stepped towards Laak and reached down to the sorcerer.
"What are you doing?"
rasped Laak, not taking the offered hand.
"I remember and repay my bonds and oaths," said Abaddon. "You came to my side. Now I come to yours."
"But the mission! The way is open! The Matriarch will destroy what you have come here for!"
"No," said Abaddon. "She will not."
"What?"
began Laak.
"Weakness," said Abaddon. "We do not need to be mighty when we are faced with weakness."
Laak hesitated, and then clasped Abaddon's hand and pulled himself to his feet. Blood fell from the sorcerer as he straightened, but shadows were already pooling in the breaks in his armour and pulling flesh and ceramite back together. Abaddon turned from him and strode towards where Matriarch Heliosa 78 was frantically locking vials of red liquid into the column of tubes and machinery in front of her. The gunfire began to fade from the chamber as the last of the guards crumpled to bloody debris. Abaddon's steps were unhurried as he approached the Selenar. Casually, he reached up and released his helm. His brothers did not move. They could read the balance of the moment and follow his lead without a direct command.
"Matriarch Heliosa," he called, and his voice rang clear.
He saw her half turn as she slotted another vial of the red liquid she had been concocting into the mass of tubes.
"You hold death in your hand, Matriarch. But not mine."
Another vial slotted in place. Her hands were moving over fine silver levers, releasing, priming.
"I have no doubt that what you are about to do will destroy the value of this place to us. That is the gene font that links to all the gene looms, stores and seed reservoirs in this complex. What is it you are going to unleash into it? A gene scrambling toxin? A viral pollutant that will touch everything within your domain with imperfection?"
Heliosa did not stop in her movements.
"You should have destroyed this place already, Matriarch," he said,
still advancing slowly.
"You must have known we would return, that we would want the cradle of our creation back. If you wanted to stop that, you should have purged every mystery and person here."
He was within 5 strides of her now, close enough to see that her limbs were shaking. He stopped.
"But you've not done that. We knew you wouldn't. We know you. After all, in a sense, are we not your sons?"
Her hands had stopped moving on the crystal tubes and vials.
"I'm not here to kill you, Matriarch. I'm here to make you an offer. You could never let go of the hope of survival. This fane should be a ruin. But part of you can't do that. You cling on, hoping that a moment like this will come to save you. That is why you bent the knee to the false emperor, why you sold your purity and made us for him. So now I make you another offer, Matriarch. The same bargain that you made with our creator. Live and serve, or die and see all you believe and love become ashes."
Heliosa looked at him, blank eyes in a silver helm. Then she bowed her head.
"The Selenar will serve,"
she said.
"What is the will of the War Master?"
Abaddon looked at her for a long moment, then turned and began to walk back to his brothers and Laek. The smoke coiled from the torn remains covering the floor. The rest of Luna would fall within hours, and there would be more killing until that was done. But they had accomplished what their father asked. They had the treasure of Luna in their grasp.
"Build us warriors, Matriarch," he said without looking at her. "Build us legions."
The Phalanx, Inner System Gulf. Blood. There was blood all around Masak. Snow boiled out of the night sky. He was running, but the world was pulling away even as he tried to hold on to it.
"Come, my son,"
cackled the voices of crows and insects.
"Come, you know what you must do. Come to us. Be free."
"No,"
he shouted, forcing his will against the image in his head. Somewhere far off, he could feel his hand clenched around the haft of an axe. Heat was pouring off it, charring his palm as he gripped harder and harder.
"No!"
he shouted again, and pulled himself down into the well of pain. He opened his eyes, biting back the agony that had been his tether to reality. He was kneeling on the floor of the chamber. His hands were locked around the haft of his force axe. Heat glowed yellow from his gauntlets. Ice covered his armour and the floor around him. Beside him knelt his brothers. Light and heat and cold fumed off them. All were fighting within themselves now. The warp was clawing at them, ripping at their will, trying to pull them into the storm tide. Something vast and terrible was happening, something that he could feel as though it were as real as the floor beneath him and the armour covering his skin. It would kill him soon. He could feel it shredding his psyche, and he could not fight it. He had the weapons to defend himself, to bite back at the things that clawed at him, to raise the voice of his spirit and escape the sea that drowned him. But he could not. He had given his oath. There was only his will, his mortal will, standing against the hungering ocean. He would die here, in this cell that had held him and his brother librarians for the last 7 years, and facing that death would be his last duty. Beside him he heard Cordal gasp as the pain escaped his mouth. Blood-jeweled frost covered the former Lexicanium, branching into sharp spikes over Cordal's skull.
"Hold, brother!" called Massac. "We are our oaths. They are our strength. Pain is the anvil of our honour."
Cordal was juddering in place, blood flowing from his eyes, mouth and ears, and freezing on his face. The boom of releasing bolts shook the walls. The blast doors at the far end of the chamber pulled wide. A huskarl, with the black cloak and white fur of the Praetorian's master bodyguard, strode into sight, bolter and sword in hand.
"Rise, brothers," said the figure. "Rise. Your lord calls you to war."
"Cerberus,"
laughed a voice in the warrior's skull.
"You are amongst the dead and betrayed again. Return to the hell you fled."
He saw it all again. The whisper heads. Xavier Jubal, rising from the floor, red light pouring from his eyes.
"Samus is the man beside you."
Abaddon's blade cutting at him.
"There was nothing to betray."
Mercedes Oloton looking up at him, eyes wide but not afraid.
"I understand you have a story."
Mercedes. Loken opened his eyes. There was blood across his sight, and blood dripping from the passage walls. He pulled himself up, feeling sharp edges grating against each other in his chest. Pieces of yellow armour and ragged meat lay in the congealing pool of blood covering the deck. Shadows writhed at the edge of sight.
"Samus is here,"
the whisper distant, half-real, calling. Something in the shape of a skinned dog was biting into the open ribcage of one of the imperial fists. It turned as Loken stood. Its mouth was a cave of needle teeth. It leaped. Loken met it with the edge of his chainsword. The spinning teeth chewed through the thing's head and back into its body. It writhed, scrabbling at the air as black ichor sprayed out, but Loken was already surging forwards. He burst through its remains and began to run. In his head the call was rising, the scent in the air shivering through his senses. He was Cerberus again now, forsaken and betrayed, loyal and inexorable, last hunter of the Lunar Wolves, and he would have vengeance.
"Samus is here."
"He's coming!"
shouted Sukasen. Rogel Dorn did not turn. One of the trio of huskarls spun to fire back down the passage behind them. Sukasen kept running.
"The end and the death!
The end and the death! The end and the death!"
sounded across the vox and growled from the ship's alarm and speaker horns. Bolter fire soared through the dark. The double-layered doors to the bridge slammed back into the walls in front of them. Sukasen looked behind her. Half-visible things with starved bodies and wings of rotting feathers tugged a huskarl from the ground. Claws bit through armour. They lifted him, blood scattering as they peeled armour from flesh. A tide of black mist was pouring down the walls, strobing with red lightning. She could see the shadows of shapes inside the murk, bounding and rolling towards them on legs and tentacles. She felt her mind flood with images of plains of dust and bone, her throat with the sting of bile. Dawn was through the doors in front of her. She wrenched her eyes around and ran the last few strides. A deluge of noise washed over them as she entered the bridge. It was a circular space 100 meters in diameter, its command systems rising in tiered islands of stone from the black and white marble floor. Tactical displays 10 meters high covered the walls, flashing with static and blurred images. Smoke was pouring from banks of machines. Crew lay on the floor, broken by the fluctuating gravity. The rest were moving under the called commands of Imperial Fists, overseers, as they tried to control the vast ship as it writhed in their grasp.
The end and the death! The end and the death! The end and the death!
The hissing roar rose from every speaker and vox system. The doors they had come through began to swing shut. The demon tide struck them. Gears and pistons jammed. Metal creaked and began to melt. The Huskarls in the chamber were running to Dawn's side as the Primarch pivoted and fired back through the gap in between the closing doors. Sue Kassen was already moving across the floor towards the tiered mass of the command dais.
Shipmaster Sora,
she called, vaulting up the spirals of stairs. Sora turned to look at her, his blue augmetic eye shining as it zoomed. His yellow armour blinked between black and crimson in the flash of alert lights and the flare of burning machines.
Full power to the engines! We need to push as far away from Terra as we can!
Helm control is intermittent and deteriorating, he replied, his voice raised. If we push her further out, we won't be able to bring her back into the battlesphere of Luna.
That does not matter now,
she said, and saw the glimmer of understanding flash in his living eye.
Begin contingency for reactor self-destruction.
Admiral, this is the Phalanx. She...
Would you rather she became a weapon for the enemy? Lord Dawn, this is his will, shipmaster.
She looked around as a boom of shearing metal echoed through the chamber. Doors and sections of walls blistered with heat began to buckle. Darkness poured in, coiling like soot blown on the wind. Shapes formed in it as it billowed inwards. Wings and legs and arms unfolded. Gunfire streaked the air. The Imperial Fists scattered through the chamber were forming gun lines. Bolt shells ripped half-real creatures apart, even as more came. Servitors rose into the air from their cradles and chairs, cables and pipes snapping free, blood and waste drooling to the floor. The creatures forming at the edge of the wave of shadow surged forwards. Sue Kassen had her pistol out. Shipmaster Sora was shouting orders. Swarms of winged demons rose high above them. Sue Kassen put two rounds into a creature with a body and wings of grey skin and sinew. The deck was trembling under her feet. Something dropped onto the top of a console next to her and leaped at her with open mouth and splayed claws. Her shot blast punched it back in a spray of black foam. Down on the deck, the wave of darkness broke over the Imperial Fists. Claws tore at helms, armour split.
The Phalanx is moving away from Terra,
called Sora from beside her, but she only half heard. She was looking down the slope of the command dais. Rogel Dawn stood amongst his sons. He had a sword in his hand. The weapon was forged for a space marine, long-hafted with a blade as tall as a mortal human. The warrior that he had taken it from would have borne it to battle with both hands. Dawn wielded it with one, carving it through congealed flesh and bone without cease, flowing from cut to cut. He was advancing against the tide, cutting a path into it, his huskarls following with blades and bolters. No step took him backwards. And in that moment she understood something of what the Khan had said of his brother. It was not just Dawn's choices that were charged by duty, but his nature. His will a chain, holding back a storm that could pour out and break the world.
Samus is the only name you will hear,
the voice growled amongst the static and the sound of battle. The billowing darkness was rising, reaching up and out like a thunderhead. Sue Kassen could smell offal and blood. The substance of the walls and floor was distorting, stone burning, metal cracking with frost. A shape moved within the cloud, pulling its tendrils of vapour into an image stitched together from the oldest of fears. Fur and flayed muscles and eyes that glowed like burning homes on a moonless night. This was not just a prince of the ruinous pantheon now. It was an arch-herald of destruction. The head of a mortal crewman 5 paces from Sue Kassen exploded. She felt her mind shrink, felt herself fighting not to collapse, as her thoughts fled back into a place where the world was simple and small. The demon of the storm stepped forwards. Ash cascaded from its tread. The tide of demons at its feet pulled back before it.
Samus. Samus is all. Samus will be your end. Samus is the end.
The huskars began to fire up at it. Bolts burst in the congealing shadow of its torso. Casually, with speed that somehow blurred like an image drawn in a flickbook, it lashed out with a clawed hand. Bodies flew back, split open, blood showering from them. It picked one of the warriors up, cradling him as the legionary fired into its face. It closed its hand. Red sludge and shards of armour fell from its fingers. Rogel Dorn looked up at the demon. He paused for an instant, and then ran to meet it, sword in hand and face set in rage. The demon laughed in a voice stitched together from static and gunfire. Dorn leapt, claws blurred towards him, but he was already past the blow, already slicing, once, twice, a dozen times. Black fluid and ash fell to the floor, and the demon seemed to recoil. Then it snapped forwards, and its claws were tearing sparks from Dorn's sword blade. Across the bridge, corpses lifted into the air. Red fire lit in their dead eyes. Sora had drawn his Serpenta pistol and was firing down at the dead as they rose. Su Kassin found herself reloading and firing without thought. The demons were clawing up the command dais. Rogel Dorn was a figure of gold, half submerged in a sea of darkness. There was blood on his armour, but he was still striking, lightning flaring from where his sword met the demon's claws.
"Can you see?"
asked the voice just next to her. Mercedes tried to turn her head, but could not.
"No, out there,"
said the voice, that sounded like Nihilus and Loken and Keela and Horus, and like the wind soaring through the teeth of dry skulls.
"Do you see?"
She looked. It was all she could do. She was still there, but separated from everything around her, a shadow out of sync with the reality it watched. It was like staring out through a window at a fog-filled street, and her senses stretched beyond. There was the great slice across the night, stretching wide, breathing out swarms of ships and spills of energy. There was the phalanx, engines burning to push it wide of Luna and Terra even as it tumbled. Beside it, clouds of winged and clawed things scrabbled through the wreckage of its escorts. Across the dark, the barbed shapes of ships that had just come through the rift came closer, racing each other to be the first to cut the last threads of hope from the flagship of the Seventh Legion. And down, through the layers of stone and metal that were the ship, she saw the black tide boiling through cracks and walls. It was a flood, a mass of demonic energy that would swallow the phalanx and all in it. Then it would seep into its bones and make the mighty fortress its own. And she was the gateway.
"I did not do this," she said.
"No,"
said the voice behind her.
"Perhaps not. But you have been very helpful."
She saw herself then. She was walking down one of the corridors of the ship. She was still there, still whole, but darkness unfolded from her shadow. The walls were blackening as she passed, tapestries and banners burning, stone cracking as ash danced in the air. Demons were all around her, floating, spinning and gliding, a court following its queen. She looked old. Her skin cracked parchment over a skull. Her right eye boiled away, her left eye a pit of red fire. A ragged shadow walked at her side, its hands hanging low, its smile an arc of bloodied teeth.
"You have made this last moment possible," said the voice.
"As the storm reaches into reality, you are a lightning rod, and we are the thundercloud. All you needed to do was be here, and we could find a path. You are our tether, our door, our messenger. Your thoughts are our way in."
"They will turn you back."
"Do you mean Rogel Dorn?"
chuckled the voice, and she felt warm, rank breath on the back of her neck.
"This is not a matter of arms and might. Or did you think that a hero shouting on the seashore can truly turn the ocean back?"
She felt the laugh shiver through her.
"Watch,"
said the voice. Massac formed his mind into fire. The thought flooded him. He held it still for a second, tasted smoke in his mouth, felt the flames roar through his sight, consuming it, blinding him. The sound of Arcamus and his huskarls firing, of the warp creatures howling, all of it faded. The fire was everything. He held its image and felt its power grow millisecond by millisecond.
Massac! We can't get through!
The voice was Arcamus's, close but distant, dimmed by the voice of the fire. He let go. A white-hot inferno rushed from his outstretched hand. His view through his helm dimmed. Warp creatures in the fire's path boiled to slime. He strode forwards, panning the flames across the space before him. Demon flesh unravelled to smoke and embers. Arcamus and his huskarls followed, with his two brother librarians. Lightning arced from their swords as they cut demons from the air. Massac felt his will fight to control the power flowing through him. He could see the inner blast door to the bridge just 10 strides away. It was no more than a gaping hole of torn and fused metal. As he ran forwards, bubbles of colour formed and burst at the edge of his sight. The ether was burrowing through his mind. Cold sweat poured from his skin inside his armour.
"It is everywhere!" called one of his brothers.
Massac could feel the same truth. The warp was pouring through the ship, twisting through its substance, grasping it like a claw. They were at the broken door. Arcamus was at Massac's side, firing and reloading without cease. Massac knew what waited for them, seeing with his mind before he saw it with his eyes. A wave of heat broke over him, images drowned in his thoughts, a wolf, a range of mountains, their canyons piled with skulls, the hiss of water falling into a shrine pool, down, down, skulls looking up, grinning with promise.
"Brother!"
shouted a voice close by. He snapped back to full awareness. In front of and above him, a figure of burnt flesh and blood smoke clashed with a golden giant. Red lightning spat from where claw and blade met.
"Father!"
breathed Massac. In his mortal sight, Dawn and the demon were a blur, a giant of shadow and ghostly flesh and a demigod of war, gleaming against the darkness. Cold control poured from Dawn, cracking the flow of the warp, splintering the folding dark as it spiralled around him.
"Brothers!"
he said, and the word echoed in the warp.
"Brothers!"
Cold light was kindling on the edge of his force axe. He heard and felt the other librarians answer, and fold their thoughts and minds to his. Pain enfolded him. He saw the pasts of his brothers as though they were his own, saw the scraps of human lives left behind when they became warriors in a crusade among the stars, felt the pain of remaking over and over again, the trials of mind, terrors faced and overcome, purpose found and then taken away, long years in the dark, dreaming, waiting. He was moving forwards, his brothers falling into step around him, force blades rising to mirror his own axe. Behind them, Arcamus and the huskarls were firing back into the throat of the door they had come from. Massac felt the creature fighting Dawn become aware of them, felt its gaze turn as the librarians advanced. Massac formed a thought, and gripped it with all his will. The thought lit in the minds of his brothers. They began to glow, light and flame radiating off them in reality and the warp. It had been a long time since they had united in this way, and even before the Edict of Nicaea they had been few amongst their legion. But it had bound them, and now they were as they always had been, as they were always meant to be. A single weapon of many parts, unyielding alone, unbreakable as one. A crowd of lesser demons rushed towards them. Massac shifted his will, and the fire of his soul and the ice and lightning of his brothers' minds blazed forth. Demon flesh flashed to smoke, howls and cries spun into the air. He saw the great demon swell, felt it suck strength into its being from the realm beyond. It lashed forwards. Massac saw the movement as a smear of smoke and felt the promise of death that it carried. Dawn's sword dragged lightning as it rose to meet the blow. Massac's will and thought leapt out. He felt his brother's pain as he yanked their minds with him. The air shrieked. Feathers of burning gold unfolded out of nothing. Rubies of fire fell from etheric claws as the shape of their thoughts flew at the beast. It whipped around to meet it, and Shadowclaw met beak and talons. Blinding light flared. Demons burst into showers of ash. Massac fell to his knees, his mind ringing. He could feel wounds opening across his body. The beast was still there, embers falling from its shredded limbs. Then dawn struck. In his dimming sight, the Primarch's sword was a line drawn through the storm of the warp. Liquid fire and black blood sprayed out. The beast howled. Dawn struck again, and the demon's cry flung Massac down amongst his brothers. His sight was draining from him. He saw Dawn's sword rise again, saw the great beast coming apart even before it fell. Muscle became bloody slime, bone crumbled, claws dissolved like salt in rain.
"Samus!"
hissed a voice carried on the wind that unravelled the last of its body.
"Samus is coming!"
And then it was not there. And the bridge was a charnel pit of dripping blood and settling ash. Dawn alone stood on the deck. Above them, other figures were pulling themselves to their feet on the command dais. Archemus and two remaining Huskarls were hurrying to Dawn's side as the Primarch strode to where Massac was struggling to rise.
"My son," began Dawn,
but Massac was shaking his head. His mind was a storm of pain and echoes of thoughts that were not his own.
"Lord,"
he began,
"there is something wrong. The creature..."
A cry rose from high on the command dais as failed systems sparked back to life.
"Lord Dawn, enemy ships are closing."
Dawn was half turning.
"No,"
said Massac, forcing the words from his lips, panting, blood running over tongue and teeth.
"It is not gone. That was just..."
"Samus!"
The corpse of one of the Huskarls raised its head from the deck behind Dawn. Its helm was torn, its eyes were pits of red fire, and the dead rose into the air once more, fire bursting from within as laughter echoed around them.
"Samus will be your end!"
Loken paced through the dark. The lights had failed, and he had discarded his ruined helm. The world was grey now, its colours drained into shadows. He had heard the sound of gunfire in the distance several times, and had killed things that had taken the flesh of the dying.
"In such visage they turned upon their kin and gnawed then upon their bloody bones."
The old words of the Chronicles of Ursh rose from a long-forgotten crack in his memory. He had failed, just as he had failed before. He had not seen. He had failed his new oaths just as he had failed the old. He had failed her. Cerberus. The old name, the old pull of instincts, which had followed him from madness, drew him on through the dark. He was close. It was close. He could feel it. It was right. Samus was right. It had always been there. The man beside him, the shadow that never left him. But now he would end it. The end and the death for shadow and man alike. On he went, on through the dark to an end he could not see. Strike frigate Persephone, inner system Gulf. Traitor ships poured from the warp rift towards the phalanx. Thrusters fired across its vast hull, shaking the vessel as it fell out into the void beyond Terra's gravity. Her sisters and escorts were gone, burned from being or left behind. Demons gnawed her skin, peeling away bites, threading her hide like parasites in diseased meat. Torpedoes began to strike her. First one, then a dozen, then more and more. Titan-sized warheads struck home and ripped stone and metal away. Swarms of demons spun and laughed as they tumbled into the void with the debris. The great ship trembled, its shields misfiring. The traitor ships came on, accelerating towards their prey with hunger. There were ships of all of Horus's greatest vassal legions amongst them, the Death Chain of the World Eaters, Sovereign Blade of the Emperor's Children, and Olympian of the Iron Warriors, and dozens more. Sigismund watched them close on the stricken phalanx.
"They've not seen us," growled Ran.
"Attack speed," said Sigismund.
"All guns and all blades ready. Forwards!"